Good morning.
This morning we are going to do the call of worship. We have come together because of God. We have created and are sustained by the power of God's love. We have come together because of Jesus. We accept his revolutionary example that shows us what life means. We come together because of the Spirit. We experience that presence that inspires and blesses our fellowship. Let us worship God through Jesus in the Spirit. Let us all sing together, "Here I Come to Worship." God, comfort us in this time of worship. Confront us with the fears we hold so tightly, the favorite sins in which we cling. Confront us with our close-mindedness. Knock at all the locked doors in our hearts. Do not let us rest until we gain entrance. Tell us the painful truth about ourselves, that we might receive the truth of Christ and every truth that is set to set us free. And now, O Lord, hear us as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Pray with me, please. Our dearest Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for all that you have done and continue to do for us. We know that you are all-powerful. We ask that you reach out to help those who are sick in body and in spirit. Be with our pastor as he meets with other church leaders and bring him safely home to us. We ask you to protect and help all of our servicemen and women who are fighting for our freedoms, including the freedom to worship you. We ask that you help our new service on Thursday to reach out to others and further our missions for you. We ask especially that you reach out to the leaders of our country and help them to move in ways that please you, remembering that we are one nation under God. Help each of us to follow your wishes and help us to proclaim to the world the wonderful word given to us by your Son, Jesus. Our country desperately needs your help to follow in the paths that you provided to us. Please help our country in this time of need. Without you, we are nothing, doomed only to what we can see as we live our lives. You have been so gracious to us with your promise of the everlasting life, a gift which is without measure. Be with us now and always. Guide us, protect us, and lead us to be the beacons of light for all to see. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we gather before this table, the Lord's table, we must remember that it is not the Christian church's table. It is the Lord's table, and you are invited to participate. We ask that our elders pray.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, for the privilege of receiving this loaf, we give our thanks. We come asking forgiveness for our many shortcomings and our sins. Help us to remember that Jesus died so that we might be forgiven and redeemed. Be present in our midst this morning so that we might be guided by your Holy Spirit. Instill within us a new determination to live more fully the Christian way.
Father, we continue knowing that there's nothing that we can do to earn forgiveness and grace. It is just grace that you gave us, this wonderful plan of being able to come to you just by asking forgiveness. Wash us with the blood of Christ so that we can come into the presence of the Lord, walk with the Lord day by day. Give us the strength, Lord, to be good examples and to show the world and share with the world what a wonderful God you are. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
On the night before he died, Christ took bread and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this represents my body." Likewise, he took the cup, he blessed it, and he said, "This represents the blood that I have shed for you, or will shed for you. Drink it in remembrance of me." We've come to that part of our service where each of us can give back a part of what the Lord has given us. Let it commence, please.
Mm-hmm.
Our dearest Heavenly Father, please allow these gifts to be received and to be utilized in a manner that's pleasing to you and in the furtherance of your work. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Our reading today is from Colossians 1:16 through 24. For in him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you, who once were estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, and in order to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him, provided that you continue in the faith and stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, which has been preached to every creature under heaven, and for which I, Paul, became a minister. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I complete what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church. May God lend his presence and blessings to this reading.
Thank you, Connie. And choir, back down in Shepherd, Texas, where I was raised, that's called toe tapping. I like it. Church membership. In our scripture this morning, Paul is very clear that Jesus is the head of the church, which is the body. Paul is also clear that we, you and I, are part of that body. No business or organization other than the church can claim the creator of heaven and earth as its head. Furthermore, no earthly organization is guaranteed a perpetual existence. Every company or organization that comes along will be replaced eventually by a newer or more relevant model. Just think about that and remember, not the church. It is forever. We encounter the word church throughout the New Testament. In the largest majority of instances, the term refers to a specific local church, like that in Rome or Corinth. When you read church in the Bible, it almost always means a local church. At the very least, the local church was the fellowship of the followers of Jesus Christ in a particular area. We know they met together, worshiped together, and prayed together. God has given us not one, but four pictures of the church. This is not just to emphasize and prove point by repetition, but also to say four different things about what it means to be a member of the church. One, to be a stone in his temple means to belong to a worshiping community. Two, to be a part of the body means to belong to a living, functioning, serving, witnessing community. Three, to be a sheep in the flock, which means belonging to a community dependent on him for protection and direction. And four, to be a member of a family, is to belong to a community bound by a common thread. Put together, you have the main functions of an individual Christian. Evidently, we are meant to fulfill these on our own, not just on our own, but together in the church. The last thing Jesus said to his disciples before returning to heaven is found in Matthew, where he told them, and us, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Many churches around the world have visitors every Sunday to join in the fellowship and worship experience of the church. Sometimes we, as members, assume these people will join when they're ready to join. Yet that's not always the case. Sometimes people don't join simply because they haven't been asked to be a part of the congregation. We, as members, are called to let others know the good news, and we have the responsibility of teaching the faith so that there's no misunderstanding of the Christian's role in the body of Christ. Each of us must reach out to those who are not members. That is the responsibility of each of us individually. That brings to mind a recent addition to our membership. Mary and John Cobb reached out to one of their neighbors. That person became a member of Central Christian. And what a wonderful joy that person is to our membership. Central Christian has many such examples. Think about it. What would Central Christian be if each one of us members did what John and Mary Cobb did? All of us need to see that joining the church is like putting one candle with many others. They'll give off more light collectively than the one lone candle ever could. And together, they have a greater penetration into the world's darkness. Central Christian, our church, reaches across the country and around the world in direct and indirect support of missionary work. We can participate in many ways, reaching the world for Christ, that we never would have dreamed of otherwise or individually. But it's true that every Christian is to be committed to the proper working of the individual part in a local church. When you join a church, you're saying you believe in taking your individual part and working as one body with other believers. Think about this. A member of the human body, such as a heart or a kidney, cannot exist apart from the others without temporary or artificial sustenance. But this isn't what it's designed for. In its sheer existence, the organ doesn't fulfill its function to the body. It isn't nourished in the way God intended through the body, but subsists only through synthetic ways that provide maintenance, but don't stimulate growth or development. In the same way, a true member of Christ's body is not designed to operate independently or outside the body. An authentic part of Christ's spiritual body cannot be content while separated from the rest of his earthly body. That's because we were made interdependent, not for independence. Although it's true that Christ is always with the individual believers, he is present in a unique and special way where Christians gather around the Word. He promised to be where Christians gather. In Matthew, he says, "For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them." He further in Matthew says, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Scripture calls for Christians assembled together as the body of Christ. In other words, the answer to a question of where can I find Jesus today is where Christians gather, for they are his body. In a day when many people approach the gospel as consumers, asking, how can that benefit me? Each of us must remember Jesus' emphasis on serving. The most basic question asked by early Christians was not the consumer question, what's in it for me? But the question, or the answer to the question, was that of a servant. What must we do? Indeed, there are privileges, rich and wonderful privileges, associated with membership in the church. Have you ever noticed that much of the New Testament's instruction for Christian living is framed in the context of local church life? For example, as in the letter of the church to Ephesus, that they were exhorted to walk in holiness, love, light, and wisdom. It is in the fourth and fifth chapters of that letter, as well as the letter to the Colossians, that the Apostle Paul gives practical directions for living Christianly in the areas of personal attitudes and behavior, relationships in the home and at work. It is in the letter to the church at Philippi that he teaches how to overcome worry and to live joyfully and contentedly, regardless of one's circumstances. By framing his practical teaching in the context of letters to specific churches, Paul implies that it is only in the fellowship of the local church that anyone can possibly live an authentic Christian life. A Christian will find it hard to exist in isolation from the church. Reach out to those who are not members. Remember, God's reconciling love is the only working alternative to despair and disaster. Each of us must define how the Christian commitment is developed in each of our lives so that we reflect a Christian spirit in our troubled world. Unlimited opportunity, awesome responsibility, and unimaginable joy are available to all who wholeheartedly seek to be a faithful participant in the body of Christ, the church. An opportunity is being offered to anyone who would like to join with Central Christian in our worship of the Lord. You are invited to join with us by baptism or profession of faith while we stand and sing, "Jesus is Softly Calling." I want to thank each one of you for your attendance this morning and for being attentive while I was trying to preach. I'm kind of new at it. You probably didn't notice that. Anyway, let's receive the benediction. May the grace of God, our Father, go with you through this week and bring you back safely to us next Sunday. God be with you. In Jesus' name, amen.